If it feels like the world is shifting beneath your feet, that's because it is. Cultural norms are crumbling. Churches that once proclaimed biblical truth are embracing worldly agendas. Even nature is shaking. But at the same time, we're witnessing an unprecedented hunger for God's Word in unexpected places. Indeed, something significant is happening in the spiritual realm. Well, welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lime Ministries. And with me, as always, is Nathan Jones, my friend and our Internet Evangelist. And together, we're exploring the spiritual signs of the times and declaring that Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Some people might wonder how we can confidently declare that Jesus is coming. I mean, after all, Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And that is absolutely true. We cannot know the specific day or hour, but just in a few verses earlier in Matthew 24:33, Jesus instructed his followers to watch for specific signs that would indicate that his return is right at the door.
That's right, Nathan. You know, our founder, Dr. David Reagan, identified six major categories of end-time signs revealed in the Scriptures. These are signs of nature, signs of society, spiritual signs, both positive and negative, signs of world politics, signs of technology, and signs of Israel. And in previous episodes, we've examined the signs of nature and signs of society in great detail. So today, we're turning our attention to spiritual signs.
And this category is unique. Unlike the other signs, spiritual signs can be both positive and negative. They include destructive warnings and hopeful developments. While signs of nature point to worsening natural disasters, the signs of society reveal moral collapse. Spiritual signs show us both the darkness descending on our world and the light of God's Spirit breaking through.
That's right. And unlike other signs, spiritual signs are invisible. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, "A natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." The world cannot perceive what God is doing spiritually, but we can, through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. So stay with us as we explore spiritual signs of the times revealed in the Bible.
In addition to this broadcast, Christ in Prophecy offers a fascinating weekly TV program that digs deeper into God's prophetic word. Christ in Prophecy TV airs on several networks and online to give you a biblical perspective on unfolding events. Find out what's happening with AI, Middle Eastern politics, the United States, and so much more when you watch Christ in Prophecy TV, available now at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. In previous episodes, we discussed the first two categories of signs of nature and signs of society. Believers and non-believers alike can see what's happening to the earth and to what is our crumbling culture. But the third category of spiritual signs is not very obvious. It takes spiritual discernment to see and understand. So, Tim, what does it take to have the spiritual discernment to see and understand the sign of the time?
Well, I think even people without the Spirit of God can recognize something is amiss, but they can't put their finger on it. As a matter of fact, they can't explain why things are going downhill, but the secular world can tell at times that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Just look at the crime wave. Look at the violence in our streets. Last week, we talked about the assassination culture, the culture of death. Anybody with eyes to see can see certain things indicated in the natural world, but what they can't recognize is things happening in the spiritual realm. And yet, there's always a spiritual realm behind what we see in the physical world. We know that Satan and his demons are constantly battling for the souls of men. They're trying to deceive, and sadly, many are deceived. And yet, this is described in Scripture. All throughout the Old Testament, we can see how Satan was engaged with trying to deceive even the chosen people of God. I love the example given by Balaam. Not that he was a good example, but when he realized he couldn't defeat the people of God, the chosen people, he said, well, let's just distract them and let's lead them astray. And sure enough, the children of Israel were led astray. And Nathan, I think as we look around, you almost wonder, goodness, are there going to be any Christians left by the time the rapture occurs? We know the answer is yes, but it feels like we are a dwindling minority, and so there's a rise of godlessness even in these formerly Christian nations like our own.
Well, the Bible prophesied that the final phase of the church age would be the Church of Laodicea, an apathetic church, but feels that it's rich, and yet the Lord says is spiritually poor. Why is it poor? Because frankly, the people take their relationship with the Lord for granted. The awe and the wonder and the respect for God doesn't seem to be there anymore. Church services where it was the Lord exhorts us in Hebrews 10:25 to assemble together all the more as we see the day of the Lord coming and approaching, that we should be together and worship the Lord. But people are deciding to stay at home, and there might be health reasons and whatnot, but you don't have that gathering like we used to. The accountability, the spiritual growth by being with other Christians, the service together is lost. And as it's lost, so is that relationship with the Lord and our impact in the culture. And Tim, I think that's really what we're talking about here when we're talking about spiritual signs, the negative ones, is that the church is losing its impact on society.
It certainly is. Nathan, you touched on a key point, because I think so many have kind of checked out. They say, well, I can't find a good church. I don't get fed when I go to a particular church. And my question is always, well, who are you feeding? In other words, what are you contributing? Mm-hmm, because the writer of Hebrews says very clearly that we should hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And as Christians, we're called to have each other's back, even in this life. In this world, we need to be united as a common front and encouraging one another, spurring one another onward until upward, as we say. You know, the old song, Onward Christian Soldiers. Well, yes, onward until upward. So this signs of a spiritual battle are all over Scripture. Nathan, you and I have often talked about Psalm chapter 2, speaking about the kings and rulers rising up against the Lord and saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us, referring to God Almighty, who creates fetters restraining mankind from its sinfulness, and yet the kings of the earth, they want to be unfettered. And we see that coming down even to whole societies today.
You know, what really impacted me was a book called Edge of Eternity by Randy Alcorn. He had a wonderful imagery of that, Tim. He had some people that were climbing up a mountain, and it was icy and slippery, and there were guardrails that helped guide them up the mountain. But for some reason, these people hated the guardrails, and they kept kicking them and knocking them down. And when they finally broke the guardrails down, they celebrated. And then the guy in the story heard them cry out as they slipped off the mountain and fell to their death. And it was a beautiful imagery of the fact that God has given us guardrails, the Bible, his moral law, to guide us in this life. But one of these spiritual signs of society is the fact that people reject God's moral law, and so they reject the guardrails that protect us from falling into sin and evil and even death.
You know, sometimes I think the Lord, in his grace and mercy, keeps us away from the foolishness our hearts and minds would lead us to, but there's a point that he gives us over. Just as he hardened Pharaoh's heart after a season of Pharaoh refusing to heed the Lord's command to let his people go, so in Romans chapter 1, we're told three different times God gives people over to the lust of their heart, to the degrading passions, and boy, we see both of those things manifest today all around us. And finally, he gives them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. The Lord gives people over. Nathan, we don't know when that point comes in an individual's life, so all we can do is urge people, do not reject the call of the Lord on your life. Do not rebel against him so that he gives you over, because again, throughout the Old Testament, the Lord chastised his own chosen people when they rebelled against him. How much more will he punish and pour out his wrath on those who never accept his grace, mercy, and love?
You know, Tim, last year during the great budget crisis where the Republicans and Democrats were locked after, what was it, 14, 15 votes about whether to pass a resolution, it was like watching a bunch of children bicker and cry and moan. And those are the people who can't achieve anything. And so when a society gets that immoral, the Lord gives children, so to speak, maturity-wise children, in charge of them. And we're seeing that in churches as well, as many churches seem to be abandoning biblical and doctrinal soundness. Recently, you know, a pastor declaring he was transitioning to become a woman.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's nothing in the Bible about that. That's putting a child over a church. So we need to get into the Bible, believe what the Bible says, and follow it in order to be spiritually mature. Call upon the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us in our scripture reading.
Well, on that note, there are some very positive things happening in the realm of the spiritual signs. We're going to talk about some of those and the ways to keep ourselves from falling, as Nathan says, off the cliff. So stick with us, and we'll give you a fresh take on what's really going on in the world today and how it relates to our topic, spiritual signs.
There's a simple key to understanding Bible prophecy, and it's found in Revelation 19:10, which says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Everything God has revealed in the Bible points to Jesus, from the beginning to the end times. Indeed, all of human history is His story. And the future is His as well, because Jesus is returning soon. Find out more when you go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio with Tim Moore. I'm Nathan Jones, and we're at the segment, What's Really Going On? We're looking at current events from a biblical point of view, and we're particularly focusing on the spiritual signs, both negative and positive. So we're going to start with the negative first. And Tim, one of the negative things that concerns me the most is the fact how many nations, especially Canada and Europe, are using what they call hate speech laws to crack down on not just what people are doing, but what people are saying and even what people are thinking.
Yep.
And so we're saying that anything that disagrees with a very leftist, unbiblical, pagan agenda is now being called hate speech. And we knew that these hate speech laws would come back and bite us in the butt, so to speak. Did you have to deal with any of that when you were a legislator in Kentucky?
No, I didn't have to deal with it in Kentucky. As a legislator, you're given pretty much free rein to say anything you want. Some of them took great liberty with saying very foolish things, but we do have the First Amendment here in this country. This idea of having no freedom of speech, no freedom of thought, and certainly no freedom of religion, even in traditional Western nations, it is a growing threat. And folks, it is coming here, at least that pressure, very soon.
And it used to be, too, that pastors were esteemed in the neighborhoods and the communities. They could come to schools and talk about the Lord. I think of the military, too, how the gospel doesn't seem to be allowed for many of the different chaplains in sharing the gospel. Hopefully that's changing under the Trump administration. But when you have atheistic chaplains, what hope can they give the people that they're ministering to?
No, they can't give them any hope. And yet we see on the other side of the coin, there is a great embracing of things that are so very, very false. We've talked about how New York City has kind of pitched over the cliff with election of Zohran Mamdani, who is an avid socialist, Islamist, quite frankly. And already New York has started to prohibit Holocaust survivors from coming to speak to students because they don't want them hearing that message of having survived the Holocaust. We tolerate as a society the abominable, and yet we're trying to silence those who are speaking truth or at least coming from a biblical perspective, certainly.
You know, Tim and I don't want to focus on all the negative here. There are very positive spiritual signs. Tim, I love this. There's a University of Oklahoma student. She filed a discrimination report after she got a zero on a paper because her Christian views were hated by the teaching assistant. And she protested, and it was all about gender, binary, and mental health, and the TA didn't approve of it. And she protested it to the school administration, and they supported her, and they actually suspended the TA. And so there's hope there that when Christians are put in the right place in society, then they can hold back that tide of evil that's continuing to grow.
You know, I've seen so many encouraging signs, and so we don't just want to emphasize the negative here. Those are evident all around us, but there are glimmers of hope and light always. Here's the reality. Yes, there is a growing spiritual divide in America, but I love what Robert Jeffers said. He said, as the dark gets darker, the points of light or the reflectors of God's light can shine all the brighter. You don't have to be a very bright bulb. You can be a dim bulb, as we like to say, and still be fairly bright in pitch darkness. So folks, there is a silver lining to this dark cloud, and quite frankly, that silver lining may just be you shining the light of truth in the dark world around you. So we hope that you will be encouraged to do just that. Well, we're going to come back in just a minute and continue our discussion of the signs that are spiritual in nature, both positive and negative.
God boldly recorded His prophecies in the Bible so that we could know for sure that He alone controls the future. Nobody is like God, and Bible prophecy points us to this fact. To find out what's really going on in the world, keep listening to Christ in Prophecy. It's your weekly perspective on the signs of the times through the lens of God's prophetic word. Your hosts are Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and our Internet Evangelist, Nathan Jones. Lamb and Lion is a non-denominational ministry whose purpose it is to proclaim to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is returning soon. To find out more, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Nathan, obviously, we've been talking about the signs of the times with regard to spiritual signs, and there are both positive and negative implications there. But we talk a lot about the negative. Let's also talk quite a bit about the positive today.
Absolutely. Well, first, we have to look at what will the church be like in the last days. And folks, people ask us all the time, will there be a great revival before the rapture of the church? There'll be little revivals. Tim, just in the last few months, we've seen a great revival because of the Charlie Kirk assassination. Thousands of young adults are giving their life to Jesus and being baptized, so that's a positive one. But overall, the main feel of the church in the last days, the Bible says, will be a rise in apostasy, folks. Apostasy is a scoffing or a pushback against doctrinal soundness. And 2 Peter 3:3 says that people will scoff at three things. They will scoff at the creation, they will scoff at the flood, and they will scoff at the return of Christ. One of the main things that the Bible prophesied, one of the main signs that we deal with spiritual signs, is a rise in apostasy.
You know, the saddest part of some of these signs is, yes, we know the world's going to scoff. Folks, we're not surprised when wicked people act wickedly. And that's the way it's always been. It's the way it always will be. The miraculous grace of Christ is that he came for those very wicked people while they were enemies of Christ. And frankly, Nathan, that includes you and me. We put ourselves in that category prior to accepting Christ as our Savior and serving him as our Lord. And so Christ died for the entire world of his enemies while we were acting wickedly. But now as believers, we're called to reflect the truth of Christ in the way that we behave and to have the confidence that his promises are indeed yes and amen. One of the most tragic parts of the scoffing that you mentioned is, I believe the scoffers more often than not these days are inside the church.
Yes.
Saying, oh, come on, where is the promise of his coming? My grandparents expected him. My folks expected him. He didn't come for them. I'm not going to get all worked up. And that's tragic because there is a promise of blessing for those who are eagerly anticipating the return of Jesus Christ.
That's why Paul repeatedly warned about false teachers. He said they're going to depart from the faith, but they're going to devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. They're going to pay attention to the doctrines of demons. And we learned that before the day of the Lord, there's going to be a strong delusion where many will believe the lies. So one of the main things that Jesus prophesied, especially in Luke 21, this first sign of the time he gave was false prophets and false teachers, a great delusion, a great misunderstanding where Satan's trying to drown the truth of the Bible in lies. And Tim, we see that all over the place. So clearly, this sign of the end time is pointing to the fact that this end time deception points to the fact that Jesus is returning soon.
Let me give a word of warning even here, Nathan. I think that we can look at the example of Peter, who in Matthew 16 confessed Christ as being the Son of God. And Jesus lauded his recognition, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, you got a gold star, A+, on recognizing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just five verses later then, Peter was a mouthpiece for Satan, actually rebuking Jesus when he revealed God's plan for his life, how he would have to die and be raised up on the third day. And Peter said, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And of course, Jesus turned to Peter and very vehemently said, get thee behind me, Satan. I think it's so dangerous for even a Christian to be mouthing things that sometimes are contrary to the Word of God, the revealed plan of God, or minimizing the promises of God. When we do so, we give Satan a toehold, even in our own thinking, in what we are propagating to others, and we discourage even the saints around us. But Nathan, we need to talk about the very positive things
Absolutely.
That are happening as well, because today, in spite of all the darkness, there are some wonderful promises being fulfilled all around us. For instance, God is calling the Jewish people back to Israel. He raised them up as a nation just in this last couple of generations, and we see the Holy Spirit being poured out just as promised in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. We see all sorts of wonderful things happening, including the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
You know, one of the great things about the Great Commission spreading is our friend Doug Cobb has a ministry that helps get the Bible into every single language. And he recently reported that we are getting, within just a few years, of every tribe, tongue, and nation getting the gospel, which is a prerequisite before the Lord returns. So we're living in those final last days of the last days where the gospel is reaching every tribe, tongue, and people. Not every person before the rapture, but certainly every tribe, tongue, and nation.
You know, even the fact that we are broadcasting and radio. And you're listening on radio, if you're listening to us today or perhaps through a streaming medium, is an example of how the gospel is reaching every corner of the earth. We are always amazed when we get feedback from people who have listened or watched our various programming, read some of our publications and books from all parts of the world. And what an encouragement it is, Nathan. I've said that through modern technology, we may be speaking to more people right now than the Apostle Paul was able to preach to in his entire lifetime. That is a tremendous privilege. It's a tremendous responsibility. And that's why already I've invited every one of you listening to join us in that great blessing to be able to share Jesus Christ. So, Nathan, what should Christians do as we await his coming?
Well, the Lord says, be ready in Luke 21. He commands us to look for his return. He says also that we should be living holy lives. We should be engaged in evangelism. And so study your Bible, obey God's word, and connect with other believers in a Bible-believing church. And get out there and share the gospel. Folks, the Lord won't come back until every single person in the church age knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. That could be the one person you share with the gospel with, and then the Lord will take us home.
Well, I can tell you that I'm excited about his coming, but as I've said, if we are Christian soldiers, then let's be onward until upward. Let's be about his business while we await his return. So, Nathan, what a joy it is. Yes, we see the dark things happening, but we know that the Lord is working mightily in this day and age with the positive signs, and they are surely telling us that he is coming soon.
Absolutely. We enjoyed talking about the spiritual signs. I'm looking forward to next episode. Next week, we're going to talk about the sign of world politics, so join us then. But coming up, Tim's going to return, and he's going to leave us with some final words of encouragement. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Tim Moore with Lamb and Lion Ministries, inviting you to join me on a once-in-a-lifetime spiritual pilgrimage to Israel. This June, I'm leading a group of fellow pilgrims to walk where Jesus walked in the land of Israel. Together, we will experience the very places where Bible prophecy was fulfilled and discover how prophecy is being fulfilled today. Most trips to Israel turn out to be, well, just tours and nothing more. But this is a spiritual journey, an adventure. You're invited to come for spiritual purposes, to draw nearer to the Lord, and to develop a better understanding of His Word. Take 12 days to discover Israel and walk where Jesus walked. For additional details and to register, go to christinprophecy.org/events. I'll hope to see you there. Well, the darkness of our age is undeniable. The spiritual decline we've described today is accelerating at a breathtaking pace. False teachers are multiplying, churches are abandoning biblical truth, and yes, the scoffers Jesus warned about are louder than ever, mocking those who proclaim his soon return. But here's what I want you to understand. This darkness is not defeating us, it's confirming everything God's Word has told us would happen. The very fact we're witnessing these spiritual signs, both negative and positive, tell us that we are living in the season of the Lord's return. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 24:33, when we see all these things, we know that he is right at the door. And that's why I love what the late pastor Adrian Rogers said. It's getting gloriously dark. He explained, when I see all these things coming to pass, they do not shake me. Sometimes they grieve me. Sometimes they sadden me. But they do not shake me. That's because I know God's word. I know their fulfillment of prophecy. I can say with all the saints, praise God, it's getting gloriously dark. Now, friends, we're not called to celebrate the darkness, and we're certainly not called to be despairing or even discouraged in these days. We're called to discernment. We're called to encouragement, and we're called to keeping our eyes on Christ. In other words, we're called to holy living and urgent evangelism. That's why I've invited you to partner with us today several different times. And let me tell you what, even as I shared with you the haunting rhetorical question Jesus asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I've resolved that if I'm the last man standing, he will find me faithful. And I've also purposed that as much influence as I can wield on my children, my grandchildren, my friends, anyone within my circle, I will ensure that they have faith planted deep in their hearts so that if he calls me home, they will be faithful to the end. There is a spiritual battle raging all around us that demands that we put on the full armor of God and stand firm in his truth, shoulder to shoulder, with other brothers and sisters in Christ. So be encouraged. While apostasy spreads in many quarters, the Holy Spirit is also moving mightily. The gospel is going forth. Jews are returning to Israel, and believers all over the world are looking up, knowing that their redemption draws near. So brother or sister, keep watching, keep praying, Keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The darker it gets, the brighter your light should shine. Until He comes, keep looking up. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, and Godspeed.